Blog Talk Radio.
We're living in a day and time. We're being politically correct. It's popular. Let me turn that around again. We're living in a day and time where everybody claims the name of God, but nobody wants to say the name of Jesus. We don't want to offend the Muslims. We don't want to offend the Jews. We don't want to offend the Arabs. And so therefore we crucify him of flesh. But I want you to know that there will come a time when every Muslim, when every Buddhist, when every Jew will have to get down on their knees and have to confess that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So I want every blood-washed believer to not wait until then. And if you've ever gone through something, you know right here, that there's something about the name.
Something else.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
It's the sweetest name.
Yeah. It's the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
I know.
And I love that name.
Oh, how I love it.
Is the sweetest name we
have.
That's right. Just take a minute and explain to him what you're really trying to say. What you really trying to say.
Don't say some people say I'm crazy, but
I can't explain.
I can't explain. The power that appeals
when you call his name.
When I call his name.
That's fire. That is just like fire. Where's it?
Shut
up. Holy Ghost.
When the Holy Ghost gets to move, man. Said he won't leave me alone.
Put it up with us, put it up with us. Everybody.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
It's the sweetest name, it's yeah.
It's the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
I know.
Wave at me if you love that name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It's the
sweetest. How sweet is it? I want you to tell your toy for a minute. How sweet is it? Sweeter than honey.
That is sweeter than honey. Yeah, yeah. Oh, from the honeycomb.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
When the Holy Ghost gets to moving,
just won't leave you alone.
Said he won't leave me alone.
Oh, no. And I tell every Muslim in the truth, at the name of Jesus.
At the name of Jesus.
What's going to happen to me?
Every knee has got to bow.
Well, tell him don't wait.
You don't have to wait till the fire comes.
What can they do?
You can clap your hands. Pray right now. Ah! Oh, yeah.
Boy, look
yeah,
at
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about that name.
Something about the name Jesus.
Is the sweetest name.
Something
I know.
Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I thank everyone for joining us on tonight for this broadcast the Revealed Truth. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat room. We thank you. And Donna Shaw on the phone line, we thank you for joining us on tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just start this broadcast with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for another day. We bless you, Father God, because you are God. There's no other God besides you, Lord. We thank you. We glorify you today, God. We magnify you, Lord God. We exalt you, Lord God. We lift you up, Lord God, for you are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be exalted, oh God. Hallelujah. And we exalt you, Lord God, and we lift you up and praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because you are God alone. Hallelujah. God, we just want to say thank you today for blessing us. We want to thank you for keeping us, oh God. We want to thank you, Lord God, for keeping us from danger, seen and unseen, oh God. Hallelujah. And Father, we just say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the stripes that he bore on Calvary's cross for us. Hallelujah. So that we might be in right fellowship with you, that we might have eternal life with you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for saving us. Thank you for delivering us, oh God. Thank you for setting us free, Father. We give you praise for it right now, God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, we just pray tonight, oh, God, that something will be said, Lord God, that will cause hearts to change, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, help us that we will be doers of the word and not hearers only, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we've done anything today, Lord God, in thought, word, or deed that was against you, that was against your will. We ask your forgiveness, God, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for that forgiveness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we don't take your grace for granted. We don't take your mercy for granted, oh God, but we thank you for your grace and your mercy today, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We give you praise. We thank you. We glorify you, Lord God, for you are worthy. Hallelujah. You are so worthy, Lord God, and we just say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we glorify you, Lord God. We glorify you and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. I thank God for, hallelujah, his son Jesus, hallelujah, because without Jesus we'd still be lost, hallelujah. Without his sacrifice on the cross we would still be lost, hallelujah. So I thank God, hallelujah, for loving us so much that he would even send his son Jesus to die and take on my sin, hallelujah. I thank God for thinking enough of me to do that, hallelujah, because he doesn't want any of his children to go to hell. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us to burn in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. So I just thank God, hallelujah, that the word of God says that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So I just thank God today, hallelujah, that I can believe on Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. Hallelujah. But see, I know one thing for certain and two things for sure, that believing on Jesus Christ, hallelujah, some people think that's just enough, just to say I believe in Jesus Christ. But believing, if we really believe in Jesus Christ, if we really believe in the redemptive work that he did on the cross at Calvary, if we really believe in Jesus Christ like we say we do, then there would be some changes in our lives. We won't continue to do things that we used to do. We won't continue to live like the old man lives. We will be get transformed by the renewing of our minds with the word of God and see a spiritual growth in us. There will be some changes going on. Hallelujah. We'll be more spirit-led than flesh-led. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It wouldn't be just something we say with our mouths, but it would be a lifestyle change. Glory to God. If we really believed in Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not just enough to say with our mouths, hallelujah, because we can say anything with our mouths. We can say anything and do something completely different, hallelujah, because I know for years and years and years I would say things and I would act like I was a Christian, but I would go home and be a hellion. I would go home and be a whole totally different person, but thank God that he really saved me. Hallelujah. He really saved me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was able to get under some teaching so that God can teach me, and mostly the Holy Ghost just taught me. Mostly the Holy Ghost taught me the word. Hallelujah. And I thank him for the word. I really do thank him. I thank him that it has to be a change, hallelujah, that it has to be more than me just saying that I'm a Christian, hallelujah, but I have to live this life as a Christian, hallelujah, glory to God. So I do thank God tonight, hallelujah, for his son Jesus. I do thank God tonight for all that he does. All that he does, all that he does, all that he does, for what he allows, what he doesn't allow. I just thank God today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think we're going to have an abbreviated broadcast on tonight, but I do say that I want to thank God because I don't know where I would be right now if Jesus hadn't, if God hadn't drawn me. If he hadn't drawn me, I don't know where I would be right now. I'd probably be somewhere doing something stupid, saying something I don't have any business saying, being somewhere I have no business being, or whatever. But I just thank God tonight, hallelujah, that he saved this girl. Hallelujah. He saved this child while I was still a wretch undone. Whew, glory to God. I don't know your testimony. Hallelujah. And you don't really know mine. But I thank God today that I can say I'm so glad he saved me. I'm so glad he brought me out. I'm so glad that he picked me up and turned me around. And it's not just words, glory to God, it's not just words, but he really is changing me. Hallelujah. He's changing me, glory to God, hallelujah. And if we all would allow the word of God, it will change all of us, glory to God, hallelujah. And my husband was talking at Bible study last night. He was talking about the difference between being committed to God and being submitted to God. The difference between being committed to God and being submitted to God. Are we really submitted to God? Have we really given over our will to God? Or are we just saying, okay, God, I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to go to Bible study on Wednesdays, and then I'm going to go to prayer on Friday. I'm going to do that, okay? I'm going to commit to do that. But as far as submission is concerned, are we really submitted? Does God have our attention? Does he have us solely, or are we divided? Or, you know, we give God some of us sometimes, you know, and then the rest of the time we do what we want to do. Or if God says do X, Y, Z, and if we don't feel like we want to do X, Y, Z, we won't. But if it's pleasing to us, then we'll go ahead and do it. That's not being submitted to God. God wants us to be submitted to him totally. And when you're submitted to somebody, or when you're surrendered to somebody, you give up your rights. When you surrender, you give up your right. You don't have a will anymore. It's God's will. You don't have a desire to sin anymore because God is not sin. So when we surrender our will over to God's will, we begin to see some changes. When we surrender and say, God, look, here I am. Here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to obey you, oh God. No matter what you say, if you tell me today to pick up and move, Lord, I'm so surrendered to you that I'm going to pick up and I'm going to leave. I'm not going to question you. I'm just going to pick up and go. That's surrender. When God can tell us to do something and we just do it. If God can give us an instruction and we just do it and we don't question him and we don't try to wiggle out of it and we don't try to make a way around it, we just do what he says do. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm not telling any stories around here. I haven't gotten to that point where I've totally surrendered to God. If I told you that I did, I would be lying. I have not gotten to the point where I've totally surrendered my will to God. No, I have not. But I'm working on it. I'm striving to be able to turn everything over to God. I want my life to be that whatever God says do, that's what I do. If he says don't do it, I won't do it. If he says go there, I'll go. If he says don't go there, I won't go. This is what I want for my life. I don't know about you, but I know this is what I want for my life. Why? Because if we can't obey God here on this earth, how are we going to obey him in heaven? Don't you know that nothing unclean is going to heaven? No disobedience is going to heaven. No rebellion is going to heaven. No stiff-neckedness is going to heaven. Not going. Why? Because God is a holy God, and he wants us to be holy. And part of being holy is being surrendered to him. Part of being holy is being surrendered to him. And maybe your surrendering might not be the same surrendering as mine. Maybe some of the things that you've already given up, maybe I still need to give up, or vice versa. Maybe it was easy for you to stop doing X, Y, Z, and God spoke to you about that and you did it. Maybe it was easy for you and it's not easy for me, or vice versa. But whatever the case is, we need to be surrendered to God. I know there was one year when everybody was talking about sold out, and there's a song by, I believe it's Hezekiah Walker, and he sings, "I am sold out. I'm sold out." And for a while, a long time, I would not sing that song. I wouldn't sing it. And when other people sang it, I'd be like, "Y'all lying, you know you ain't sold out." But that wasn't my business to say that, okay, about anybody else. But it came to me, and somebody questioned me about that. They said, "How come when the choir sings, you won't sing?" I said, "Because I'm not sold out. I'm not. I want to be sold out. I want to be completely sold out to God. But I haven't sold out everything to God. I haven't sold out my entire will to God. But I'm working on it. Here I am, Lord. Change me, Lord. I give you permission, Lord. Here, I'm putting my will out of the way. I want you to change me, Lord." And you know what? It's happening. But see, we got to have a made-up mind. We have to want to surrender to God. See, surrender is not something that's evil. Surrender is not evil. We look at surrender as weakness. Well, when we do become weak, God becomes strong. And we're not talking about walking around being a little scaredy cat, or, excuse my expression, a punk or anything like that. But it's saying that we are giving God, he is all power anyway, but we're giving him access to our lives because he knows what to do for us. He knows what's best for us. So we're giving him all access so that whatever we do, he will get glory out of it. Whatever we say, he will get glory out of it. Wherever we go, he will get glory out of it. So these songs that we sing, we got to be careful about what we sing. Okay, maybe you're saying I'm sold out because you're trying to get there. I'm going to sing it until I get there. Okay, that's all good. But at that point in my life, I was not able to sing that song because I wasn't sold out. And I remember a part of my life where I was sold out to a pastor. I was sold out so much so that whenever they called me, I was there. I spent more time with them than I spent with my family. I was sold out to them. Mostly because I was getting a paycheck. Can I say that? It was because I was getting a paycheck. Okay? But the paycheck that I was getting, it never amounted to what I was doing, actually. But the paycheck that God gives us, the benefits that we get from God are far greater than any man can give us. But yet we'll sell out to a man, and we'll work hours and hours and hours for a man or a woman, okay, for a few dollars. And there's nothing everlasting about that stuff. There's nothing eternal about that stuff, okay? Money's going to fade away. The people are going to fade away. But we work for them and work for them, and we work for them so much so that we only give God maybe 5-10 minutes a day, and a lot of times it's only when we need something from him. But he wants us to be sold out. He wants us to think about that song as something about the name Jesus. And when you think about that name Jesus, it makes you want to live right. It makes you want to surrender. It makes you want to give yourself to him completely. Completely. Now, we know that those of us that are married, we have things that we have to take care of as married people. There's things that we have to do when we have a family. We know that we have to take care of our family. Okay, and we know that we have to work. We know that we have to do these things to bring money into the household. We understand that. But we still can be sold out to God. We still can be holy on our jobs. We can still live for God on our jobs. We don't have to go to our jobs and act like the world acts just because we're at our jobs and then go to church and act a different way. We still can be submitted and surrendered to God. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, get in the Word. Begin to meditate on the Word. Begin to pray. You don't have to get on your knees and do "Thou art God and most precious holy." No, you don't have to do all of that. You can just talk to God. He's your Father.
He's your heavenly Father. You can talk to him, and he'll listen to you. And God knows he won't turn us away when we tell him we want to surrender to you, Almighty God. He's not going to turn us away. He's going to draw us closer to him. He's not going to turn us away. Why would a holy God turn us away when we say, God, we want to surrender to you? See, but surrendering to him is a choice. There's something that we have to do to surrender to God. We have to say no to the things that are not godly. We have to say no to the things that God tells us to say no to. We have to say yes to the things that he tells us to say yes to. And we might not even understand it all the time. But part of surrendering is being led by, letting someone else dictate. If you surrender to the authorities, you have to go by what they say. You have to do what they say. You're giving over your will to another authority. You're no longer the authority when you surrender. You no longer have those rights as a free person when you surrender. So I don't have the right to sin with my body anymore when I surrender. I don't have the right to sin with my mouth anymore when I surrender. I don't have the right to sin or do anything that I want to do when I surrender to God. I don't have that right anymore because I've surrendered my will to him. And whatever he says goes. And that's how it should be. And that's where I'm trying to get to, that everything that I do is surrendered to God. If he says stay in the house today, I stay in the house today. If he says stay in the house for a week, stay in the house for a week. Whatever God says, that's what I want to do. I just want to surrender to him. Why? Because I'm going to reap the benefit. I'm going to reap the benefit. I'm going to reap everlasting life. I'm going to reap righteousness and peace because I'm submitted and surrendered to Almighty God. He's never going to tell me to do anything wrong. He might tell me to do something I don't understand, but he's never going to tell me to do anything wrong. And last night in Bible study, somebody had asked my husband, they said, they were talking about they brought up Eve in a garden. You know, Adam and Eve in a garden when the serpent was there and, you know, the serpent was talking to Eve and, you know, trying to get her to sin. And she did. Because she listened to another voice. When we are surrendered to God, we're not listening to another voice. She listened to another voice. And the serpent said, and I read this story over and over again, over and over again. And when I saw it last night, it was like it just illuminated off of the page. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. Now, God told them if they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they were going to die. The tree that's in the midst of the garden, they were going to die. They were going to surely die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. He said that because he knew that if you eat of the knowledge of good and evil, then you'll become as God. So she listened to another voice. And listening to that other voice, not being surrendered to Almighty God, but listening to another voice, got us all in trouble. But we can change that. We can surrender to Almighty God and stop listening to these other voices. We can surrender to God and stop listening to our own voice. We can surrender to God and allow him to have his way so that he can get the glory, so that other people can get saved by the witness of our lives. We shouldn't be out here acting like the world. We shouldn't be out here dropping it like it's hot, not as Christians, not as believers, not as those that are born again, not as those that are no longer slaves to sin. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect, but come on, it's time for us to surrender. It's time for us to give up our will and just say, God, here I am. Here I am. It's not enough to just sing songs unto the Lord. Do you know I was reading in the book of Amos? I was reading in the book of Amos last night, and God, he was just angry with the people because they would not obey him. They would not obey him. And God was destroying stuff because they would not obey him. It got to the point where he said, I don't even want you to sing to me because I'm not even listening to your songs because you don't even mean it. You're just singing stuff and you don't even mean it. And I looked at that. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it got down to the point of even the songs that they were singing, he didn't even want to hear it because they were not submitted to him. They were not surrendering to him. They were doing what they wanted to do and thought it was okay. And because they did it repeatedly, God began destroying stuff. He began destroying people because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't submit. They wouldn't surrender. They wouldn't trust him. And I said, wow, Lord. I said, wow, Lord, help me. Let the songs that I sing, let the songs that I sing be real. Let it be real in my heart, the songs that I sing, not just singing them to be singing, but let it be real. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Let that thing be real in me. It's the sweetest name I know. If it really is the sweetest name I know, then I need to act like Jesus' name is the sweetest name I know. I can't live like the devil. I can't lay down with the devil and expect everything to be okay with God. We can't do that. We can't serve God and the devil. We're going to serve one or the other. But I tell you, it's more than this going to the altar and saying, I give my heart to God. It's the lifestyle change. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We got to be transformed with the word of God. And if we spend more time doing everything else than we spend feeding our spirit or renewing our mind, where do we think we're going to get? If I spend 5 minutes a day, I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm going to read the word, I'm going to pray and say thank you, God, in that 5 minutes. And the rest of the day, I'm going to do what I want to do. Where's God in your life for real? Where's God in my life for real? Where is he for real? Okay, God, oh, I'm having this difficulty right now. Now I need you. And then he helps you through the difficulty, and then you don't talk to God anymore after that. My God, my God, my God. I tell you what, we need an awakening. We need an awakening because the church has done what the Bible told us not to do. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But we've conformed to this world. We've conformed to this world. We've conformed. We've gone and we look like the world. We act like the world. We talk like the world. We in the church bouncing and bopping like we in the club. Because we act like we have to lower our godly standards to bring the world in. But when Jesus was on this earth, he never lowered his standards. He never lowered his standards. He didn't become like anybody around him. He didn't become like any nation around him. He didn't become like anybody around him. But he was effective because he was holy. He obeyed his father. He was surrendered to his father. He was so surrendered that he died a horrible death on the cross for us. He was so surrendered that he was beat with 39 stripes for us. That's how surrendered he was. He was beat with 39 stripes for us. He knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he was beaten for us. He was wounded for my transgressions, for your transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, for your iniquities, for the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. He was so surrendered to his heavenly Father. He was so surrendered that he took that on so that we could have the right to the tree of life. That's how surrendered he was, that he took that beating. He took those people lying on him. He took those people spitting on him. He took those people taking them over to this judge and to this judge. He took that and he didn't say a murmuring word. Somebody talk about us, we ready to fight. Somebody talk about us, we ready to get up in their face. We ready to do this and we're ready to do that. But Jesus, he paid it all. He did it all because he was surrendered. He was surrendered to the will of his Father. Yes, he was in the garden. He said, Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. That's the surrender right there. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If it be possible, Father. Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me. God, they're getting on my nerves. They're doing this. Lord, they're doing this. God, if it be possible that this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Lord God. And that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be surrendered. Then nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be at nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's where he wants us to be. That's where he wants us to be. And if we're not there, where we can say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, then we need to pray that we get there. Oh, we're going to go through some things. Oh, we're going to go through some things. Jesus was persecuted. He was persecuted. We're not greater than the master. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us. But see, we don't want to be persecuted. We want to walk through. We want to tiptoe through the tulips and everything goes just smoothly. But Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. He said, take up your cross and follow me. But he wants us to be at that point of nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's where he wants us to be. That's where he wants us to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh, I believe we have Donna Shaw on the line from Skype. I just pushed your microphone on if you have anything to say.
Blessings to you. You know, the Lord gave me that word surrender. And just to hear you say that, you know, not that I need a confirmation because I know I hear from him, but it's nice to know that he's speaking to others and he's saying the same thing to others. And so to hear you say the word surrender, that was powerful and so needed. And it's like you said, we can go through the motions of saying the word, or we can go through the motions of walking down the aisle, going to the altar and paying lip service, but are we really surrendered? Are we really willing to give it all up? Are we really willing to release it over to the Lord and allow him to do what needs to be done for our healing and whatever that we're expecting him to do for us? So I appreciate your obedience to come on, and there is no name like the name of Jesus, and every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is Lord. So we might as well do it now, like Tatra Bett says. We might as well start our rehearsal right now, get it in motion right now. So it is so familiar to us to open our mouths and say, Lord, not my will, but yours. Lord, I decrease so that you can increase. Lord, take me out of the way. It's nice that you want to use me, but let me get my personality out the way. Let me get my way of thinking out the way and let you really do what needs to be done in whatever situation it is. So blessings to you for your obedience to share that today. That was good.
Amen. You know, and I got excited when I saw your name because I thought you were someone else. But nevertheless, I was excited. I was like, wow. And I called my girlfriend. I said, your sister's on the line, but you're not her sister. you know, not her blood sister, but, you know, sister in Christ. But I was so excited about that. And actually, I almost canceled the broadcast about 15 minutes before the broadcast came on because I had gotten this headache that was just, it was so horrible. And I was like, you know what, this headache is from hell, and to hell it got to go back.
Amen.
And I was like, I'm going to do this broadcast anyway. And I had nothing prepared. And just in the midst of talking, the Lord dropped that in my spirit about that surrender and how Jesus surrendered. You know, he was in the garden against him, and he was praying. He said, you know, if it be possible that this cup can pass from me, because he was getting ready to endure something hard. He was going to endure something that was, it was his life. You know, it was his life. He was getting ready to be separated from the Father by taking all of that sin on him. And and he was like, Father, if it be possible that this cup can pass from me. Then he said, nevertheless. My husband preached this a long time ago. He preached that nevertheless. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit brings it back to you, he brings it back to you with the power and the authority when he brings it back. It's like, oh, my God, like I'm almost... In that moment, I felt like I could just feel Jesus right there. Like I could feel him saying, Father, if this cup can pass for me, but nevertheless, not my will. And that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be at that point where we say, nevertheless, not my will, not my will, not my will, but thy will be done. And because he surrendered to the Father, now we have the right to the tree of life.
Hallelujah.
If we want it.
That's right.
You know, we have access to God, the Father. We don't have to go through, you know, animal sacrifices and all of this other stuff that they had to do in the Old Testament. We have access to God, the Father,
Hallelujah.
Because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice.
You
because
preach.
He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we know Jesus is the Son of God. We know all of that. But he was still down here in his humanness. So his human nature said, you know, Father, this cup can pass for me. You know, I'm the one that's about to have to take on all of this.
That's right.
You know, so we do go through those things. We're saying, God, I'm going through this right now, and this is a little bit hard for me right now, Lord God. And he wants us to be able to say, but nevertheless, thou wilt be done.
Glory.
He wants us to get to that point where we can say, you know what, this is hard. What I'm going through right now is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, that my will, Lord.
Glory. Glory.
Nevertheless, not my will. See, what I'm going through right now might not be, if you were going through it, might not be hard for you, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going through attacks in my body like never before, just every time I turn around, there's something else going on. But nevertheless, not my will, Lord, your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I know that you are a healer. I believe that
God,
I'm healed.
Yes.
But God, if you don't heal me, I know that you're able.
Come on.
I know that you're able.
Hallelujah.
And if you don't deliver me from whatever else I'm going through, I still know that you're able. And my trust is in you.
Yes, yes. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name. Glory to your name.
Thank you, God.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Glory to your name.
Thank you, Lord God.
Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. I thank you.
Oh, you're so wonderful. So wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Faithful.
I thank you, Lord God. I glorify you, Lord.
Praise your name.
And I thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, God. See, God can do. He can do what he want to do.
That's right.
And the song just popped in my mind that there shall be glory after this. There shall be glory after this. And the Son was glorified after he went through all of that stuff. He was glorified after he went through all of that stuff.
Hallelujah.
And there shall be glory after this, if we just trust God,
Thank you, Jesus.
And say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. No, Lord, I don't like going through this, but Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I don't like this part of my life, Lord God, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus.
And he'll bring us through it. Yes, he will. Mm. He'll bring us through it.
Every time.
But we got to trust him, and we got to surrender. We got to get to that point of surrender. And I thank God for my husband teaching on that thing last night, that surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender. And we look at surrender as, oh, well, you know, God just ain't going to let me do nothing. But guess what? Whatever God has ordained for our lives is better than we can ever orchestrate in our lives, ever.
That's right. Amen.
Ever. No matter what it is. You know, my husband, he has cerebral palsy. He was born with cerebral palsy. And I'll tell you what, guess what? I've never heard my husband say, well, God, I don't even hear him say, God, take the cerebral palsy away from me.
Come on.
I never hear him, I never even heard him ask God to heal him. I never even heard him ask that. Because his thing is, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I've heard him say that.
Hallelujah.
I've heard him say that.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? That's what all of us got to do.
Amen.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Then we need to go back, you know, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way. We harp so much on what Paul says, and we know that God inspired the word of God. We know that he caused these men to write the word of God. We understand that. But Jesus got so much stuff in there, that stuff that's written in the red letters that Jesus talked about. Now, come on. You go back and study the life of Jesus and see what Jesus had to endure.
Mm-hmm.
And see why he got the glory after this. To see
Hallelujah.
Why he's sitting at the right hand of power right now. He's sitting at the right hand of power. He's sitting right there right now. Had he not surrendered?
Come on.
Had he not surrendered? But he surrendered, and his surrender was right there in that garden. He surrendered right there. Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless.
Not my will.
Now that right there is a statement that, I mean, if we would just meditate on that right there and ask God, I need you to help me, that this statement be true in my life. Nevertheless, not my will. And if I got to say it every day until I get to that point, then that's what I need to say. Nevertheless, not my will.
How many times did Christ say it in the Gethsemane?
Three.
He said it three times.
Mm-hmm.
Easy thing. Every time he said the same thing every time. Let this bitter cup pass from me.
Hmm.
But not my will. But he didn't even say it like that. Let me tell you something, dear hearts. If you allow me, honey, I just want to just say how it really went. But sometimes we don't really understand the struggle that he had at Gethsemane. It said that the third time that he went before the Lord, his sweat turned into blood, literal blood. And science tells us that is not impossible. That if you're stressing to the extreme, now we talk about stress, and we talk about hypertension and all those things that we go through. Can you imagine you seeing and knowing your destiny? And it's going to be in a few minutes. You actually know it. Not believe it or I think I'm going to go through and I think it's going to be like this. But to actually envision and actually see your destiny, seeing yourself beaten 39 times, not with just one strap, but with a cat and nine tail.
Mm-hmm.
And iron, glass, and bone, as well as the leather straps, hitting you over and over again. So if you add 39 times that one strap, that's how many times he was beaten. Not just, he wasn't just hit 39 times. He was hit 39 times with a nine strap. So you have to say 39 times nine. That's how many times he was literally hit with that cat nine tail. And he saw it before it happened. How many of us can actually see our deaths before they happen? And how will we respond if we knew exactly how we were going to die?
Hmm.
And then on top of that, knowing you have the power to stop it. You could call 10,000 angels to stop it all.
life. They didn't take
laid down his life.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't taken from him. He laid it down.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine that? You have power to call 10,000 angels. The Bible tells me two angels can send 10,000 to flight. Can you imagine what 10,000 can do? You think the Roman soldiers in the Jewish Sentinel that were there, Caiaphas and Annas and all those men that were there accusing them falsely, you think they had any power if 10,000 angels came to reprieve him and to deliver him and to rescue him? What army do you think could withstand 10,000 angels?
None.
That's what he could have done. But then he said, but not my will, but thy will be done.
I like
he said that, then he cast his lot into his destiny. And he had to go through. So sometimes we think that we can say that prayer and God will send an army down and God will help us out of it before it happens that way. I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, you know, we believe that our God can deliver us, but if he doesn't,
mm-hmm.
but if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him
to you. Ah.
Because he's deserving of all praise mm-hmm. and all worship.
Yes.
If he doesn't do it, we're still going to be delivered. We're just going to be delivered up into heaven. I mean, you think about it, that would have been really, if you think about it, what a better place to be delivered into. We don't want to be delivered another day on this earth. No wonder Christ said, he that loveth his life shall lose it.
Yeah.
That hateth his life in this world should have life everlasting. We are so wrapped up and tied up into being down here and living this mundane, ordinary, grief-stricken, pain-filled kind of life. When God promised he's had a life where he's going to dry all the tears from your eyes.
Yes.
No more trouble. No more problems. You're not going to have cerebral palsy. You're not going to have lupus. You're not going to have cancer. You're not going to have MS. You're not going to have multiple muscular dystrophy. You're not going to have any of those things that plague us now. There's not going to be no AIDS up in heaven.
Hmm.
My Lord.
No more blindness. No more deafness. No Down syndrome. No schizophrenia. No paranoia. Not in heaven you won't have it. It is fight to stay down here. Man, something ain't right. Christ says our attitude should be in Revelation. He says our attitude should be that we should be saying every day, come quickly, Lord. And it's not a death wish. Nobody's trying to rush ourselves off of this planet. But what he is saying is if you're so rooted and grounded and so entwined and entangled in this world, you just may miss out on the world that you were meant to be into for the rest of your life. We're only going to be here by right only 70 years. And if by virtue, maybe 80. And if by God's grace, maybe 90. And if you just linger around long enough, you may live to be 100. But compared with eternity, there's still a drop in the bucket.
Still a drop in the bucket.
Our existence is going to be spent more in heaven than on earth. If we get there. But think about it like this. Your existence in hell will be longer than your existence on earth if you choose it to be. Because both of them are eternal. Both of them are forever. The people talking about, well, are you going to live? You're going to live again. Everybody lives again. The question should be is, where am I going to live again? Where will I spend eternity? But I love what Christ said. He said, but not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. A good talk don't mean nothing. That's what Jesus is trying to say. It's how you live.
How you live. How
Christians, we're good at talking a good game now. Man, we can razzle dazzle. We sometimes can fool the devil. We have such articulation with our speech and all that kind of stuff. We can impress people. We can have people follow us with our jive. But just like folks said, God knows our heart. He sure enough does.
He sure does.
And you better watch saying that, because he sure enough does. He knows your heart when you don't even know your heart. He knows your intent before you know your intent. He knows your motives before you know your motives. We learned last night at Bible study, we learned this important fact that I want everyone on the listening audience to remember this, that it says there that if he's not the Lord of all your life, he's not the Lord of your life at all. So if you don't allow him to be the Lord of your life, he's not the Lord of any of your life. You can't pick and choose what he's going to rule over, that what the thing you want to give him, what you're going to allow him to lord over you with, how long he's going to lord it over you, if you agree with his lordship, with his authority, with his power, then you'll continue to allow him to be your Lord. But once you differ with him, you defrock him, you dethrone him, you take off the crown, you take off the jewels, you take off all that, and you go about your business. If he's going to be your Lord, and Lord means by definition absolute authority and absolute power over that which he is Lord over. If you keep on giving him something and taking it back, he ain't your Lord. And if he's not your Lord, then he's certainly not your master.
How about that?
Because a master is one who has slaves, not servants. We like that phrase, servants. But the real Greek word, which is the New Testament written in, uses the word slave. Middle English changed it and softened the blow a little bit by changing the name slave to servant. It sounds a little less offensive. Sounds a little less subjective. It sounds like you have a little bit of freedom. A servant can stand for some kind of, oh no, I don't think that's right to do, sir. But a slave says, whatever you say goes, master. You say, take it over there, I'm going to take it over there, master. I'm not going to critique, I'm not going to give you my opinion, for my opinion doesn't matter, master. If it takes you 20 years to get what I would like you to do done, then I'm going to wait 20 years, master. And if you say no, master, I'm not going to ask you why, master, because you're my master and you know best, master. But if God doesn't do things in our time span, he's no longer our master. We take it back. That's why people keep on going to the altar every Sunday and every time the church doors open, go to the altar with the same issues, the same concerns that they had the last time they were at the altar. Because they didn't leave at that time. They took it, picked it back up, looked around, see if anybody saw, and then they sneaked it back into their pocket again. If he's going to be your Lord, he's going to be your master, let him be your Lord and master of everything. And what we really should say in honesty is, I'm striving to make him, allow him to be my master and my Lord. I'm striving so that he will become that. I haven't arrived yet. That's what Paul says. I haven't attained it yet.
Yes.
Because when I would do good, I choose to do evil. So I cannot have attained it yet. Yeah, I wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament, but I haven't attained it yet. Yes, I was shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and left for dead, but I haven't attained it yet. Mm. And here we choose whether we want to go to church this Sunday or not. Choose whether we want to spend an hour in Bible study this week or not. Choose whether we want to go to God in prayer for an hour this Friday or not. And we can have the audacity to say, you're my Lord and my master, and you mean the world to me. Stop it! Repent! And start over again. Because God is not mocked. And you're going to be surprised at rapture who's caught up and who's left behind.
What? Jesus.
It's not going to be just the adulterer. It's not going to be just the homosexual. It's not going to be just this person and that person, the murderer and the thief and the pedophile person and all that type of thing. It's not going to be just them. Because you tried to fool God. You tried to flim-flam God. You tried to fake God out. Thought you pulled the wool over his eyes, didn't you? When you were praying in the church with a powerful prayer and preached a wonderful sermon on Sunday and then on Saturday night, just before you did all that, you were slipping and sliding into the bars and into the whore places. Thought you got away with that fact that you talked about your brother like the dog the night before, didn't you? Thought you got away with that, didn't you? Thought you got away with a little bit of gossip, but God says, don't gossip about one another.
Lord.
Thought you got away with when you felt good about your enemy going through. You thought you got away with it, didn't you? But the Proverbs tells me that we're not supposed to be happy when our enemies are going through. In fact, God looks at it with a scornful eye and will take his hands off the enemy if he thinks you're happy about it. Maybe that's why your enemy ain't got all that you think he should have gotten. Because you were just so glad that he got that little bit he did get. God took his hands off him and forgot about it. See, there's just some little foxes, dear hearts. Not the lions, not the foxes, not the wolves, not the bears, the little, tiny, little, cute, little, fluffy-tailed, big-eared fox. That's going to do us in the end. That's why it tells us in the Song of Solomon, beware of the little foxes, for they're the ones who ruin the vine. Isn't that something? Because then Christ equates the vine with, I am the vine, you are the branches. So he says the fox is the one who ruins the vine. He ruins your relationship with the vine. He chews it up. Him and his little cute self. Chews on your relationship with the vine until the vine and you are disconnected and severed and no longer tied one with the other. Your branches hanging off for dear life. Because the fox can chew the stem to the point that your branch is hanging off the vine. And then a good little wind blows through and your vine falls off your branch falls off the vine altogether and you wonder what happened. Keep in mind, Solomon who wrote that song there in the Song of Solomon was the ancestor of Jesus. Maybe he had some kind of prophetic word about that Christ years later would talk about him being that vine that the fox chews on. So that your relationship with God and your relationship with Christ is severed, weakened, and finally destroyed. It's going to be that backbiting stuff. That unforgiveness. That envy and that jealousy that you have for people that have that you think you deserve, that you should have gotten it more than they got. What you have, and you envy what they have, and are jealous what they have received, and you don't even know what kind of hard work it took for them to receive it. But all you're doing is looking at it from the outside in, and you say, man, I don't know why they got that when I don't got nothing. And then we bargain with God. Lord, I go to church all the time, and I serve you all of us. So that's why he did it, huh? So what you did it for, well, it wasn't to praise and worship and to honor God. It was so that you can get what the Jones has down the street.
Uh-oh.
That's why you really did it. That, now we see your real motives in serving God.
Keep up with the Joneses?
Exactly.
Wow.
And since he's in the blessing business, he has the cattle on 1,000 hill, who better to try to get in good with than the man who got the cattle on 1,000 hills? I'm not getting close to him because I want to be close to him. I just want him to share the cattle, one of them cattle on 1,000 hills with me. We're talking like a TIS, folks. Ain't dressing it up, ain't trying to make it look pretty, not trying to stroke your egos, not trying to get you having a big bank account. I'm telling you how you can win your soul to heaven. Like my wife said last night, she said, after a while, the big screen TVs and the computers and the money in the bank and all that, the new car, the mansion, the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, all that's going to be left behind one day for your children and your grandchildren and your kinfolk to fight over and ultimately to spend and or destroy. And all you're going to have is what God gave you from the very beginning, your soul and your spirit. And where will that part of you live forever? You can't take nothing with you. They had one man just died recently, a couple of days ago, and they went through the Burger King line, and they all got a burger because they know he loved his burger. And they bought a Burger King burger for him, put it on the casket, and see, they went down into the ground. He had his burger, or so they thought. But let me tell you, dear heart, that man wasn't in that coffin, and the only thing going to eat the burger will be the things on the ground that dwell therein.
My God.
The bugs, they're going to have a feast on that burger. They want to wish everybody could ride through the line. The dogs, the scavengers, the eagles, everything that will dig it up. Because they smell it on the ground, they'll be able to dig it up and eat it. That man ain't going to taste not a bit of that burger, not the bun, not the pickle, and not the special made sauce. He ain't going to taste none of that.
All right, amen.
God bless you.
God bless you, honey. Thank you for joining us tonight.
I wake up already, don't I?
Yes. That's how you know the word is in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Everybody, that was my husband. That was my husband, Reverend Gerald Scott. Philadelphia Refuge of God Church Ministries. Hallelujah, glory to God. I thank God for my husband stepping in, hallelujah, and bringing us this word. We're going to try to get him on Blog TV or Spreaker, probably Spreaker, because Revival Fire was talking to me, honey, while you were talking, I don't know. Are you in the? You're not in the chat room, but Revival Fire. His name is Mike Bradford, and you know he was really listening to you, and everybody in the chat room was really listening and agreeing to you know what God used you to speak to us on tonight. And I know Mike Bradford said heaven is going to be filled by few because it takes total surrender to him. And you know that surrender thing is something that we really have to do.
Amen.
You know, and again, I have to keep saying that surrendering to God doesn't mean that we're punks. It just means that we want God to take control. We want him to be Lord. and we want him to be master. And so many words that we use, although they're in the Bible, they become cliche. They become just something to say, not really something that's a true part of us, but it's just become something that we say because it's the quote-unquote Christian thing to say. But I don't want to just say stuff. I want to for God to really have control over my life. I'm to the place now where, you know, I've finally gotten to the place where I don't just want to serve God so I can stay out of hell. I want to serve God because I love him. But I want to get to the point where I'm totally surrendered to him. Totally surrendered to him.
Amen.
And not question him. Well, God, why you want me to do that? Well, God, why are you taking that from me? God, why are you? I don't want to question him. I just want to be surrendered to him. I want to be sold out. Like I said earlier in the broadcast, there's a song that said, I'm sold out. And I would not sing that song because I was not sold out to God. And somebody actually questioned me about that and said, why don't you sing this song every time the choir sing? I said, because I'm not sold out. It was a lie to me. I couldn't sing that song and feel right about it because he says, I am sold out. My mind is made up. No, my mind wasn't made up to be sold out to God. And a lot of these songs that people sing, and we sing them, but are they really true to us? I surrender all. Do you surrender all for real?
Hey, my God.
Do you really surrender all?
All, everything.
Well, that's what they sing in church. Okay, but listen to the words of the song. All to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. If you ain't stopped smoking yet, you ain't surrendered all. If you ain't stopped lying yet, you haven't surrendered all. If you ain't stopped fornicating yet, you ain't surrendered all. If anything that you do that is against the will of God, you have not surrendered all. It's a lie. Lord, I want to surrender all, but I haven't surrendered all.
Uh-oh.
Lord, I want to surrender. Yeah, I do, but I haven't done it.
That's honest. That's the honest way.
Now, guess what? We say things, again, we say things because it sounds good. But God don't want us to say stuff because it sounds good. God wants us to do good. He wants us to do what he says do. We can only serve one master. We cannot serve God and the devil. We're going to serve one or the other. The truth be told, we're going to serve one or the other. We can't serve God and the devil. Either you're in or you're out. There's no middle ground. There is no gray area. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. If you're listening to your own self and you're being led by your flesh, you're basically just, you're serving the devil. Because they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's what the word says. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And if we're still in the flesh, that means we are not surrendered. We have not surrendered all. We might as well stop lying, ask God to forgive us, and ask God to help us to surrender all. And we don't want to surrender because we want to please people. We want to worry about what people saying. We want to worry about what people, well, they said this, and they think I'm this. And screw what they say. Excuse me for saying that, but guess what? We got to decide what we're going to do. We're going to live for God or not. Because guess what? If we go to hell, we're going to hell by ourselves. It don't matter what people say. If we go to hell, we're going to hell by ourselves. Same thing with heaven. If we go to heaven, we're going to heaven by ourselves.
That's right.
So we better go ahead and be submissive to God. We better obey God. We better do what God says do. Because in the end, he has the power to cast our soul and our body into hell. He has the power to do. God has the power. Not what my sister say, not what my brother say, not what my neighbor says. God has the power to cast my very body and my soul into hell. So I think it would do us a great justice if we would surrender to God, if we would just obey God. Revival Fire has in there tradition and religion because we're so caught up in religion. We're so caught up in saying stuff that sounds holy. We're saying stuff, we even quote stuff. out the Bible, but it really did.
That's right.
Just, and then instead of us going to check it out, we just join the bandwagon, jump on the bandwagon, and start saying stuff. And though, where you find that at in the Bible?
Nowhere.
Where's that at in the Bible?
Nowhere.
But you're talking it and you saying it because it sounds like it came out of the Bible. But even then, you're still not living it. Come on now. We got to surrender to God. We got to surrender to him. We got to surrender. We got to do just like Jesus did and said, not my will. You might say, oh, Lord, if this cup, if it be possible for this cup pass by me, then let it pass by me. But nevertheless, you may say that more than once. You may say it more than twice. You may even say it more than three times. But eventually, you're going to get to the point where you're just going to say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will. I want to tell you something. Okay. Me and my husband have been married for 13 years, and I would not submit. I would not surrender. Not that my husband is a slave. He's not one of them men that just, oh, well, when I get home, I want my dinner done, and you better have my bath washed. He's not like that. Matter of fact, my husband cooks. Anybody that knows me knows I don't like to cook. My husband cooks. Okay. And he cooks very well because when I met him, I was wearing, I guess, a size 8 or something like that. I'm going to tell you what size I wear right now, but he's a good cook, okay? So I done kind of filled out. But what I'm saying to you is that I wasn't a surrendered wife. I said what I wanted to say. I did what I wanted to do. I wasn't out there in the world sinning or whatever, but I just wasn't a respectful wife. I wasn't really like I just was Teresa, and I just did what I wanted to do. I'm going to say what I say. You like it, you don't like it. It is what it is. Let's keep it moving, okay? Now, guess what? I have learned. Even my husband, he tried to tell me one day. He tried to say, you know, you changed. I said, don't say it. Just let it alone. Don't say it. I know there's changes that I've made in my life, and it's called being submissive. But I had to surrender my will. I didn't want, me surrender, me be submit, no, that's not going to happen. But it's happening. It's happening. You heard? It's happening. Because I made up my mind that I want to please God. See, it wasn't even about trying to please my husband at that point. It was about pleasing God. It was about that I was not pleasing my Heavenly Father by the way I was acting. And see, God had to put me in check. And I had to surrender that part of my life. Shut your mouth, because what you're talking about don't even really matter anyway. Shut up. Stop arguing. He is the head of this house, whether you like it or not. He is the head of this house. You married him, and he is the head of this house. Now you're going to surrender. And I had to. I haven't argued with my husband. Things he's asked me, he don't ask me to do anything or ask me not. He really doesn't. My husband does not bother me. He's not one of those type of men. He's not like that at all. But he's noticed that there's a change. He's noticed that. And you can say amen right here, right now, honey.
Well, yeah, amen, because I'm going to say, can I add this on? And it's really something, because it's brought about a change in me.
And it has. It really has.
Or consider it. I'll do things even the more I want to. I want to. It's not no compulsion. She don't ask me to do anything.
And it's been sweet. And, you know, and we've been married for 13 years, and this is the best year of our married life.
It really is.
This is the best year of our married life. Why? Because I surrendered. I didn't believe. I'm trying to tell you something. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you something. When you surrender your will, things change. When you surrender your will, things change.
Amen. I like that. Right.
When you surrender your will, things change.
True.
And sometimes it's hard because I got a big mouth. Okay? We come from a family of people that tell it. We're going to tell you. If you don't like it, too bad. Go ahead. Put a Band-Aid on your bruise because I said what I had to say and keep it going. Okay? But God had to get, let me tell you something. Can I tell y'all this?
Ma'am.
When, okay, My husband cooks, but I take care of the household. Well, his nurse does a lot of stuff that I was doing now. I mean, that I was doing before, because some of the stuff that I'm not able to do anymore. But his nurse comes in and takes it. But as the woman of the house, I like things a certain way. Okay? So I would go to the store and purchase what I wanted for the home and not consider my husband at all. I would just go get what I wanted to get. Well, how about this? How about I just found myself in the store calling my husband, asking him what he would like to see in here, asking his opinion, asking, well, what color do you want? Calling him, taking pictures of stuff, showing it to him so he can have an opinion and decide what he wants in the house. And there are for 13, let me tell you something. This is new stuff to me, this surrender stuff. This is why I can preach this thing with fire now, because God has taught me how to surrender. And in my surrendering, I'm seeing some good things.
Amen.
I can tell you about it now because I'm actually living it. Surrender. Surrender. And that don't make me less of a woman because I call him and say, honey, well, how would you like this? Well, how, what color would you like? But that doesn't make me less of a woman. It makes me a better woman.
It does.
Because now it's not just what Teresa wants, but I've considered my husband, and if he wants what, if it's something that he wants, just because his taste is different than mine doesn't make his taste wrong. And so I had to surrender and say, okay, this is what he wants. This is what we're going to do. That's not Teresa, no, but it comes from surrendering. So if this is happening in my natural, if I surrender to God totally, what's going to happen in the spirit? Glory to God. See, that's what we got to do. We got to surrender to the will of God. And then me surrendering to my husband is the will of God, because my husband is my head. And then the head of my husband is Christ. So if I'm surrendering to my husband and my husband is surrendering to Christ, oh, my goodness, what we got going on over here? Y'all better come on now. I'm trying to tell you, I, Teresa, would not call my husband and ask my husband nothing. But I'm telling you, this submission thing, this surrendering thing, it got benefits. Do you hear me? And the benefit is that I'm pleasing my Heavenly Father.
That's the most important of all.
I'm pleasing my Heavenly Father. But guess what? At the same time, I got a new husband, and he got a new wife.
Amen. After all those years.
After all these years.
Never too late, though. That's what it tells me. It's never too late.
After all these years. And I don't mind putting myself out there like that, because it can help somebody else. But the whole thing we're talking about is surrender.
Amen.
It's surrender. And I've read the Bible for years and years about marriage and surrender. And I'm not, what? Submitting to, what? Somebody crazy, it ain't me. That's how, look, I was my own woman when he met me. When we got married, I still stayed my own woman. But then 13 years later, I guess, I don't know what it is about this, that 13 years later, God has, like, I guess he said, look, it's enough for you, girl. And I thank God that he allowed this to happen, because guess what? He didn't take me out in my foolishness. He could have took me out of here while I was still in my foolishness, in my disobedience, in my rebellion, in my hard-heartedness. He could have took me out and just let me go into hell. But see, God is gracious and God is merciful. If he knows that your heart, in your heart, you tell him, God, I want to be right. You tell God that long enough, he going to help you out if you really mean it.
There you go.
And it might not be that you have to surrender or submit to your husband, because maybe you're already doing that, or to your wife. Maybe you're already doing that. But maybe God is talking to you about surrendering another part of your life, and you haven't done it yet. And he's moving on you tonight to say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. It might not be as drastic as what I just explained, but it's something. And only you know what that something is. And while you have the chance, why don't you just throw your hands up right now and just tell God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's between you and him.
Hey.
I don't have to see you. I don't have to hear you. That's between you and God. Say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. You might not like what you're going through right now. I told you, submitting to my husband? What? I didn't look at my husband as my head. I was the head of both of us. That's the way I acted, but I was out of order. And when we try to be the head of God, we become out of order. You will never be the head of God. You will never tell God what to do. God's not going to change because of us. No, he's not. See, that's one of the things, that's the thing that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven, because he wanted to exalt himself above God. And when we walk in disobedience and rebellion, we want to exalt ourselves above God, because we're telling God, I know more than you.
My Lord, Lord forbid.
We're disobedient and rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted. We're not so much different than the Israelites. We act just like them. Hard-hearted. Oh, I'm going to do it my way. Lucifer lost his place because of pride. And pride causes us to be disobedient and rebellious, because our pride tells us, well, I don't have to really do what God says do. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, go back and look at the story of Lucifer and see how he fell from heaven.
That's right.
Because he wanted to exalt himself above God. Guess what? We can't exalt ourselves above God. We can't do it. Well, you say, well, I don't try to exalt myself above God. Whenever we think that we know better than God, oh, yes, we do, or try to exalt ourselves above God. Because when God tells us to do something and we think we know better, then that means we're exalting ourselves above God. We're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. The Word of God says that, not me. The Word of God says that. We're supposed to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Everything that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, we're supposed to cast that thing down. God says, stop smoking, stop smoking. People tell me, well, if the Lord want me to stop smoking, he'll stop me from smoking. Okay. If the Lord want me to stop fornicating, and I promise you, I heard somebody tell me this. If the Lord want me to stop fornicating, then he'll stop me from fornicating. Are you serious? Are you serious?
My Lord.
The Bible says, neither shall fornication be named among you as becoming saints. So he done already told you to stop fornicating. Are you serious? The problem is that you don't want to be submissive to God. You don't want to obey God. You want to keep fornicating because you like it. I like being in charge. I like being the boss. But every time I came against my husband, I was coming against God. Because the Word of God says the husband is the head of the wife. That's what the Word says. And the head of the husband is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. See, there's order. We so out of order. We be so out of order, it's ridiculous. We just be out of order. And then we want to go in church and lift up unholy hands. We want to go to church and offer God strange fire. We want to go to church and just present God with any kind of offering and think he's supposed to take it. Not so. Go back and read the Old Testament and see how God didn't just accept any kind of offering. He didn't just accept anything because people brought it to him. The offering had to be without blemish. It couldn't be crippled. It couldn't be all messed up and broken up. It couldn't be something that you just found on the street and decided, oh, I'm going to give it to God. No. And the same thing today. Our praise offering, our worship offering, it can't just be something, oh, well, I'm just going to do it right now, you know, because the choir is singing and I'm just going to. No. Your heart ain't changed. You know your heart ain't changed because soon the service is over, you already got plans to go out and do something that you ain't got no business doing. But you in there offering him strange fire and you think he's receiving it. What? Because the ground didn't open up and you didn't fall through the ground. So you think God is accepting it. Come on, people. We better get transformed by the renewing of our mind. We better seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we don't know what that means, we got the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will bring all things to our remembrance, but if there's nothing there to bring to our remembrance, what are you going to bring? Come on. Hear the word of God. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. This is not the time to harden your heart. This is the time to repent. If we need to repent, whatever we need to repent of, this is the time to do it. And repent doesn't mean do a 360. It means do a 180. Turn away from that thing that you're doing that is against God. Turn away from rebellion. Turn away from disobedience. Turn away from it. Ask God to forgive you and turn away from it and live for him. Please live for him. Please live for him.
Amen.
Revival Fire says the church is just like the world, and when you come to him in praise, when in sin, you are offering up dung offering. Ooh! A dung offering. It stinks to him. He says rotten fruit means rotten root.
Okay.
Rotten fruit means rotten root. We better get it together. God is tarrying. Jesus is tarrying. His return, he has delayed his return. He didn't come. All them false prediction that was, he didn't come. But when the people were making these false predictions, people were doing their version of repenting. I don't know who repented and who didn't because I'm not God, so I can't judge that. But I know that when Jesus didn't come, people were reverted right back to the same stuff they was doing because Jesus didn't come.
Amen. What were their motives? What were their motives?
Just didn't want to go to hell.
That's it.
Serving
the Lord.
Those false predictions, that's what they were. They were just false predictions. But people was running to the church.
With a false religion.
With false religion, with false teaching, false doctrine. That when the word says, no man knows the day nor the hour. But people were running. People were calling on Jesus.
And now what are they doing?
And then when he didn't come, they went right back to anything they was doing before.
Business as usual.
Everything they was doing before.
If not more.
Oh, well, Jesus didn't come. He didn't come all them three times he was predicted to come in 2012. Well, let me just go on and do. But guess what? The word of God said he's coming like a thief in the night. He's coming like a thief in the night. You don't know when the thief is coming. The thief is not going to announce to you, I'm coming. Lock your doors, Jordan, Teresa, because I'm coming. I'll be there at 8 o'clock. The thief not going to tell you when he's coming. He's coming when you least expect it. Surprise, I'm here. That's what the thief does. He don't tell you, Shirley, at 10 minutes to 11 tonight, I'm coming to your house and I'm going to rob you. I'm going to steal this and I'm going to steal that. I'm come, okay? He don't tell you that. He just going to break in and take what he want and going about his business. And that's what Jesus going to do. He's going to come, get his bride, and he's out of here. He's not telling you when he's coming. Either you're a wise virgin or you're a foolish virgin. It was 10 of them. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 were ready, 5 were not. When the bridegroom came, the 5 virgins that were ready went back with him. The 5 that weren't ready, that were out there buying their oil because they didn't have any. So when the bridegroom came, it was too late. They came back. They couldn't get in the door because it was locked. Poof, too bad. God has given us a chance every day that we're on this earth to get ourselves together. He's given us a chance to truly repent, not just say you're sorry, but to turn from that thing that you're doing that is against God. Every day he's given us a chance to repent. Every day he's given us a chance to humble ourselves and to surrender. He's given us this chance every day. So when he comes and you're not ready, it's nobody's fault but yours. Can't blame God. Can't blame God. Well, I believed in Muhammad, and I believed in Confucius, and I believed in Daddy Grace, and I believed in Bishop McCullough, and I believed in this person, and I believed in that person. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I can't tell you that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm still living a sinful life. I said living a sinful life. That means every day I'm still doing the same stuff over and over again. I can't tell you that I really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if I'm still living a life. I'm cussing, I'm fussing, I'm fornicating, or committing adultery, I'm lying, I'm stealing, I'm all of this stuff. And read the book of Romans. Read the book of Romans. Some folks are so messed up, God done turned them over to a reprobate mind. And people think the book of Romans chapter 1 is all about homosexuality. But read all of that other stuff that's in the book of Romans chapter 1. I get sick of people trying to just use that scripture for homosexuality. But I'm going to turn to it right now because it talks about more than that, honey. It talks about more than a man lying with a man and a woman lying with a woman. He reads some more stuff up, is up in there. And I read that, I was like, whoa. In verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. For the wrath of God, this is Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We might want to get our Bibles and underline that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's so much truth being suppressed in unrighteousness today, it's not even funny. So much truth being suppressed in unrighteousness. Evil is now called good, and good is now called evil. Because the truth is suppressed in unrighteousness up in the church. And folks just clapping and throwing their money up on the altar and doing all of this stuff. Meanwhile, the truth is being suppressed. People not being called out on their sin. You're living a lifestyle of sin. Bible Truth by Benny said, many make homosexuality the scapegoat sin so that their own sin is overlooked. And I'm going to give you a high five over here. Bible Truth by Benny. Because my husband says that all the time. People want to talk about the big stuff, but what about the little foxes that spoil the vine? What about the little leaven that leavens the whole lump? What about that little stuff, Oh, everybody talks about homosexuality. Yeah, everybody talks about homosexuality. But what about heresy? I ain't heard y'all talk about heresy in a minute. Heresy. You walking around teaching another gospel. You walking around teaching something that's not even true. And revival fire says the other gospel is being preached these days, as it says in Galatians 1. The other gospel is being preached. We're not even supposed to receive anybody that's preaching another gospel. But another gospel is being preached. You turn to Galatians. Get your Bible and turn to Galatians. Y'all want to make homosexuality the scapegoat. My husband says that all the time. Yeah, because that's such a big, that's supposed to be a big sin. But sin is sin. The God, he hate all sin. And we want, oh, come on. Let's talk about homosexuality. Why? Because it takes the light off of me. Because I'm not a homosexual. I'm not a lesbian. So I'm going to talk about homosexuality and lesbianism, because then nobody won't think about my sin. Now, the works of the flesh which are manifest, which are these. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. You sitting around and let people talk to you about dirty jokes, okay? You watching Maury and Jerry Springer, and all they talk about is fornication, and everybody sleeping with everybody. And that's all they talk about on them shows. That's all they known for, okay? Lewdness. You doing stuff that you don't have no business doing. Y'all think I'm crazy, but it's okay. Idolatry. You into the tarot cards. You into the horoscopes. Okay? That would be in with that sorcery and witchcraft stuff. Okay, you idolatry. You making stuff your idol. Your TV is your idol. You your car is your idol. Your spouse is your idol. Your kids are your idol. Your money is your idol. Idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what God said. Oh, what happened here? Mm-hmm. Sorcery. Uh-huh. Sorcery. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Folks be out there looking at all this stuff. Look, y'all can say what y'all want to say. I don't look at Harry Potter. I don't look at that stuff. And I know when we was in back in the day, we used to look at Bewitched. You know, she used to torture her nose. It was no problem back then. But you look at these shows today with all this witchcraft and this sorcery going on. Okay, and you wonder why there's so much stuff going on, because people take this stuff, they done made it so realistic, and people take this stuff and make it become real to them, and you see why they're out here, all of this other demon activity is going on. Amityville Horror, when they made Amityville Horror, it was so much stuff going on with those people lives, because they was dealing with witchcraft and sorcery and all that other stuff. People were dying on them programs. Y'all got to look at stuff like that. Nobody want to talk about that, but that's okay. Hatred. I'm not a homosexual, but I hate you. I'm not a homosexual, but I hate white people. I'm not a homosexual, but I hate black people. I'm not a homosexual. I just hate everybody because my life was messed up. What happened? I'm not a homosexual, but, okay. Contention. Every time you turn around, you start in trouble. Every time you turn around, you start in trouble. Every time you turn around, you in the middle of somebody's trouble. Come on now. Jealousies. Oh, Lord have mercy. So-and-so up the street, they done got a Range Rover, and I only got Peter and Paul to walk on. I don't have a car yet. Man, they don't even go to church. Why they got a Range Rover? Why they got this? And I can't even have anything. Lord, when you going to get mine? Why they got? Come on, shut up. Outbursts of wrath, just freaking out, just going out, cursing out people, just mad, throwing things, slamming things. You just don't know. Come on, people. Selfish ambition. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. I want to make money. I got to do this. I got to do that. Come on, y'all. Uh-huh. Dissensions. That might as well be over there with the contentions, dissensions, heresies, teaching false doctrines, lying, making up stuff, talking about God said this and he ain't said that. Come on now. Envy. want something somebody else got. Go somewhere and sit down. Murderers. Oh, well, you ain't killed nobody with a gun or with a knife, but you're killing them with your mouth. You can't keep your mouth off of them, so you're murdering their character every time you turn around. What? Y'all think I'm crazy over here. Revelries and the like. Come on now. We're not supposed to be each other's opponents. We're supposed to be on the same team. We're supposed to be on the team of God. Come on now. But y'all want to talk about homosexuality. Y'all want to go back to Romans chapter 1 because we didn't even finish reading that. We just stopped at verse number 18. But if you really want to read it, let's go. Okay, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with, here we go, write this down, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Y'all better go ahead and leave me alone. Y'all better go ahead and leave me alone right here. It's not just about homosexuality. Did you hear? It sounds like I just got finished reading Galatians. I'm reading in Romans. But didn't that just sound like I read Galatians? Didn't it sound like I just read that? It's the same thing. And three times in Romans chapter 1, it says, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them over. Because they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to acknowledge God. They didn't want to surrender to God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. So God gave them over. He gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them over. That's what you want to do? Go ahead and do it. With that scripture, baby, in Revelation 21, it says, let them, if they want to be unholy, let them be unholy still. If they want to be unjust, let them be unjust still. Revelation, I believe it's chapter 21. It's somewhere back there. Let me see if I can get it for you. If anybody in the chat room know what I'm talking about, go on, help me find it, please, because we only have a few more minutes left. I'm telling you, I'm hot now. Woo! Jesus, Jesus. Oh, lordy, 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 lordy. Woo! He said, behold, I come quickly in my reward. This is not the one I'm looking at. I'm talking about. But in Revelation 22:12, it says, "And Jesus said, and behold, I come." Oh, this is it. Revelation 22. Let's start at verse 10. "And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Verse 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Okay? That's who's outside. That's who's outside. You're not getting in the gate. Okay? Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Whosoever loveth a lie. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Did you hear that? Lord, today we got some cleaning. We got some confessing to do, some repenting to do, some, surrendering to do. Surrender to God. That's what he wants us to do. Let's just surrender to God. Let's just save ourselves from trouble and surrender to God. Let's just save ourselves from trouble and surrender to God. That's it. We just have a couple of minutes left here. And, I really don't have anything else to say. Honey, do you have anything else you'd like to add in
no,
the 6 minutes that we have? I'm sorry?
Covered it all. I love what you said.
Well, Revival Fire says it's about the works of the flesh. And that's what Romans 1 and Galatians 5 is talking about. And we just read it here in Revelation chapter 22. We got to kill the works of this flesh. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. And the Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we often leave the Holy Ghost out. We leave the Holy Spirit out. And the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. He's our helper. And we don't call on the Holy Spirit like we should. We forget about that third person of the Godhead. We forget about the Holy Spirit. Like he's not an integral part of the Godhead, but he is. And we need the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we do because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us to be our helper. And we don't want to call on the Holy Spirit because we think that we got it all together so we can do this thing. No! Like Mike Bradford, Revival Party, said, the Holy Ghost is the power of God. And we just treat the Holy Ghost like he's not even a part of the Godhead. Like, Holy Ghost, what's that? Because that's what it really is. What's that? Because we don't call on the Holy Ghost to help us. Let me tell you something. Take the words that were said tonight and pray. All of us have a choice to make. All of us, we either want to surrender to God so that he can be master of our lives, or we could just keep doing what we want to do. And then when Jesus come back and we don't go back with him, it's nobody's fault but ours. And Benny says the shameful thing is that many lie by saying the Holy Spirit told them things which are heretical. They say, I don't have time to talk about it now, but like the gospel of inclusion is a lie. It's heresy. It's a lie. God does love everybody, but we just read who's going to be outside of the gate. Everybody's not going in. The gospel of inclusion is a lie. And if anybody comes teaching you about the gospel of inclusion, you better run. The gospel of inclusion is a lie. Everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven. So the gospel of inclusion means that atheists are going to heaven. Everybody that's disobedient, they're going to heaven anyway. So because Christ died for everybody. He did die for everybody. But he said those that believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the atheists don't believe in God. They can't believe in Jesus because God and Jesus are one anyway, so they don't believe in Jesus. So you mean to tell me the atheist is going to heaven? Go somewhere with that lie. That's heretical. Don't do that. You're going somewhere with that. Guess what? We're about to end the broadcast now. We only have 3 minutes. Left. I thank God for what he's done tonight. I thank God for what he revealed to me. I thank God for what he revealed to me. And Revival Fire says only the ones who turn their will over to him are the ones that are going to heaven. We can't live a dual life, honey. We can't do it. We're going to serve one or we're going to serve the other. Like you said last night, even Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out my mouth.
Amen.
You decide. It's your choice. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. But even this, you don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath.
Yeah. We're worrying about that.
We're worrying about Jesus. That's right. No dual agents. No double agents. We can't be double agents. Folks worrying about when Jesus coming back. Don't worry about when Jesus coming back. You might take your last breath before Jesus come back. But if you take your last breath, you can't get saved from the grave, baby. You better get saved now. You can't submit from the grave. You better submit now. You can't surrender from the grave. You better surrender now. That's all I know. That goes for all of us. Nobody's excluded from surrendering to God. Nobody's excluded. I don't care what your title is. I don't care if you have alphabet before your name or after your name. I really don't care. I don't care how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter. What matters is our hearts, and are our hearts right before God? Stop saying God knows my heart, because he really does know your heart, as my husband says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. My bestie Lisa on the phone, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Mike Bradford. Thank you, my sister, Shirley, a.k.a. Celestine. Bible Truth by Benny, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. My husband, Bishop Reverend Gerald Scott, glory to God. Thank you so much for the word that you expounded on tonight. Hallelujah. And Revival Fire says, I got the Holy Ghost. Ha-ha! I got the Holy Ghost, too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with this, we're going to close out and just tell God, thank you for all that he's done. Father, we just thank you and praise you for everything that you've said and done on tonight. Lord God, we bind the spirit of retaliation and anything that may come against us because of the word that has gone forth tonight. Father, we just thank you and bless your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. God, we ask you to help us to surrender to you, to surrender our will to you, that your will may be done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all, and good night. God bless you. Good night. God bless you.